Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Beis. We are holding on daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara in the second wide line gave a simin. The first and second wide line gave a simin of the upcoming Gemara, and the simin corresponds to eight episodes that happened, stories that happened about someone claiming that somebody else owed them money, and the tainas that went back and forth, and the various chiyuvim or pturim that we had in each of those cases. So we are holding by the third of those eight episodes, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the page. Hahu. Someone says to his friend, "Havli me azuzi ozavticha. Give me the $100 that I lent to you." Amar lei lo haydvar meil. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. You never lent me any money. I never saw you before." Azal isi sahadi da usfeu pare. He goes and he brings witnesses that he lent him the money, but the witnesses say, "Yeah, but he also paid back the money. He paid him back already." So the witnesses that are saying that he lent him the money and therefore contradicting the claim of the supposed borrower are also contradicting the claim of the guy who's claiming the money. So Amr Abai, my nevud, Abai says, what are we supposed to do? Inu Amri Uzfei, Inu Amri Pare. The same witnesses we're relying on to say that this loan never occurred are the same witnesses that said that he already paid it back. Rava Amar, Kala Amr Lo Levisi, Kamar Lo Parati Dami. No, person is Neman Al Atzmo more than Meya Edim, and a person says Lo Levisi, it's as if he said Lo Parati. The guy said, I never borrowed the money. That's a convenient way of saying that I never paid back the money. In terms of that he did borrow the money, we have Edim. So we're going to believe, it's like a Palgina Diburo, we're going to believe the Edim that the money was borrowed. We're not going to believe the Edim that the money was paid back, because the guy himself was Moda, Yev Hodas Baldin. Hodas Baldin is Kameya Edim. The guy himself was Moda, that he never paid back the money. Good, that's story number three. Story number four. Hu damle lechavre, guy says to his friend, Havli me azuzi de masiknabach, give me the $100 that I lent to you. Amale, lo pereticha bifne ploni ploni. Now, didn't I already pay you back in front of Reuven and Shimon? And he identifies two people that in front of whom he claims to have paid back the money. Asu ploni uploni. Sure enough, Reuven and Shimon come to court. Amri lo hayudvar meolam. They say, we don't know what he's talking about. We never saw anybody pay anybody back. Sovrav sheshes the meimar huchsa kafran. So sheshes thought to say, whoa, this guy lied. It's obvious that he's lying about everything now, and therefore he still owes the money. Amar le Rava kol milsa de lo rami alei diinish lavadaite. Rava says, no, he could be that he's misremembering. Because anything that is not up to a person to try to remember, and it's not something that he's responsible to know, so he's not going to pay such close attention, and he's not going to remember perfectly. Now, in this case, it was a loan, but the loan was never made in front of Edim. So we discussed yesterday, if someone borrows money in front of Edim, do you have to pay back in front of Edim? But when you don't borrow the money with Edim in the first place, and the guy shows a tremendous amount of faith and trust in you by lending you money without any Edim, so then of course you don't have to pay back in front of Edim. So he could have just said, I paid you back already, and he'd be believed. So since he didn't need Edim to pay back in front of, he's just believed to say he paid him back by saying that, yeah, I paid you back in front of Ploni Uploni. That's something that's lo rami alei diinish. That's something that it's not his responsibility to remember something like that. Just on the previous case, we said kol amar lo levisi, kol amar lo parati dami. Tosos points out that sometimes when someone says something that doesn't seem to fit into the broader picture, we are mitatzin and dibure. We change his words around a little bit to figure out a way. Is there any way to interpret what he's saying to fit the picture that that we have from the other evidence? Like if you look in Tosos, three lines before the lines get wide, Vim Tomar Amay Lo Mitartinan Hacha Dibure Lo Lavisi Kilomar Lo Amadati Bahalva Asi. Meaning, what did we have in that case? We had a case where we had Edim that he borrowed money and that he paid it back. The fellow himself said he never borrowed the money. So we don't want the fellow to be going against the Edim. So isn't there a way to explain Lo Levisi in a way that's not going to be a direct contradiction? Meaning, maybe Lo Levisi is him saying Lo Levisi, but Lo Amadati Bahalva Asi. Means I didn't keep that debt, Elo Parati. Doesn't mean Lo Hadam, doesn't mean it never ever happened. Just means I've already paid it back. Kamo Biperek Amru Lo, Gabi Lo Nitmesi. Just like Mesechus Krisos, when someone says Lo Nitmesi, Dimitartzin Dibure, we are mitarets his words, we come up with a pshat in his words to say, lo amadati betumasi ela tavalti. Not that I never became tamei, I didn't remain tamei. I got out of my toma, I was tovel. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So Tos just makes a very poshut point. Vamriva dahach lo kamer lo levisi. He never said in that case, lo levisi, elo lahadam. It said, lo hoyu dvar meolam. There's no way to be mitarets that. Lo shayach l'tzrutzi lishne. You can't be mitarets what he's saying when he says, lo hoyu dvar meolam. If he says, lo levisi, you're right. Lo madati balva asi. Lahadam is lahadam. It means nothing ever happened over here. There was never a transaction. Okay, case number 5, 2 lines from the bottom. Ha'udam le'lechavrei, a guy says to his friend, havli shisme azuzei demasik nabach. Give me the 600 zuz that you owe me. Amrlei v'lo particha mea kavi avtzi dekaimi b'shisa shisa. He says, wait a second, I gave you back 100 bottles of gall juice that each sell for 6 zuz. So you tell me I owe you 600 zuz. I gave you back product that's worth 600 zuz. Amrlei lav ba'arba avukaimi. So the guy tied it back. You gave me 100 bottles of gall juice, but it wasn't 6 zuz a piece. It's the market value is 4 zuz a piece, so it's a lot cheaper than you're claiming it is. You still owe me another 200. Asu treisadi va'amru in barba arba havakaimi. They brought two witnesses to testify as to the value of the bottles of gold juice at the time, and he said, yeah, the market value, in fact, was 4. It was not 6. So what do we say about this guy now? He claimed to have paid back everything, but based on the metzius, based on the value of a product that he gave him. And we've now ascertained that the value is not what he says it was. So Amarava huchsa kafran. Rava says, so obviously the guy is a kafran, the guy is lying, because we know with Eidos that his estimation is incorrect. Amar Rami Bar Chama ha'amrit kol milsa d'laraim eladin shlav daite. So Rami Bar Chama says, no, who says uchsa kafran? Didn't we say that anything that he's not responsible to remember, he's not going to remember clearly? And over here also says Rashi, third line, d'laraim eladin shvainami l'laraim elelomar be'eze inyun param el paratiyas tama. When you pay back, you don't need to remember every detail of exactly how your payment equaled up the total. You just need to know that you paid it back. And once you know that you paid it back, so that's it. So then it escapes your mind. That's the information you need to retain. The details are not something that's Ramya Leda Inish. So since the details are not something that's your responsibility to know, so you might forget the price of gold. You thought it was 100 at 6 zuz. It might have been 150 at 4 zuz. You don't know exactly what it was. So Amrlei Rava, Amalei Rav, that works out, 150, yeah, that works out. Amalei Rav, katsusa detara mitka dekiri inshi. Rav says, no, the going rate of what you paid back, meaning that's exactly the payment. That's, you know, we're not talking about some side thing, where they're aiding, was it under a tree, was it, you know, we're talking about the payment itself. The value of what you're using to pay back, that you better remember. So that's something that is, that people are expected to remember and to keep in mind. Okay, story number 6. Ha'udam le'lechavrei, a guy says to his friend, havli me'azuzi, give me 100 zuz, d'masik nebach, that you owe me, v'hashtara, and here's a shtar that verifies that you in fact owe me that 100 zuz. Amar le'paraticha, he says, I already paid you back that 100 zuz. Amar le'i, so he doesn't deny that he paid back. He says, hanu sitrayinu. No, when you paid me back those 100 zuz, that was for a side thing. That was for another loan that you owed me money for. So yeah, I know you paid me back 100 zuz, but that was for a different debt. Now pay me back for this debt. Amar Rav Nachman, itra shtar. Rav Nachman says, wait a second, if you paid me back 100 zuz, and the guy didn't have a shtar for the other debt, whatever that debt might be, so come on, the shtar is invalidated. He's already admitted that he got paid back, and he only has one shtar that says that he owed him any money. So Rav Papa Amar lo itra shtar. Rav Papa says, no, the shtar is still fine. The shtar is still perfectly valid. Rav Papa, according to Rav Papa, that the shtar is perfectly valid, and we say that, yeah, the money that was paid back must have been for something else, and this shtar still is in full force. Maishna, why is this any different than the following case? A guy says to his friend, Havli me'azuze d'masik nebach, give me the 100 zuz that you owe me, v'hashtara, and here's the shtar that says that you owe me the money. Amrlei lav aturi yahavtili va'asis v'siyavis amasachta v'kabilas zuzech va'amrlei hanu sitroininu. Meaning he says back to him, what do you mean the $100 that I gave you? He says the $100 you gave me, meaning the $100 you gave me, that was an investment. That was an investment to go buy cattle, and we were going to go split the profits when we sell the meat from that cattle. So again, the case was, the guy says, give me the $100 you gave me. The guy says back, what do you mean give you back the $100? We already split the profits. You don't remember we were sitting by the market selling the meat of that cattle, the Kabila Zuzach, and you already got your money. So the response is, no, that money that I got while we were selling the cattle, that wasn't for the $100 that I gave you then. That was a different investment. That was for a different payment. So Rav Papa itrashtar, and Rav Papa over there says, no, the shtar is a bad shtar. The shtar has already been invalidated once he's moda that he got paid sitting by the cattle selling off the meat. So answers the Gemara. So why does Rav Papa say over here it's any different? If Rav Papa is willing to say itra shtara in the case of the cattle by the investment, why is he not willing to say itra shtara over here stam by a guy who says that he got paid back, but it was from a side loan? Now, hasab keeping the kamra turiya haftali mituri shakalta itra shtara hacha emor sitrayinu. Big difference. Over there, we know that the money was given as an investment for cattle, and he's acknowledging that he got paid while they were going and selling meat. So it's hard to say that that money that he took was really money for something else, meaning that was very clearly the money defined for that investment. Over here, it's stam money. He's saying, I gave you back money. Yeah, you gave me back money, but that money was for a different investment. There's nothing about the way it was given back that indicates that it was dafka for that loan and not for something else. So whereas by the case of the cattle, the very circumstances under which he was paid indicates that it was in exchange for that investment. So my havi Allah, so what do we say in the end of the day? Do we say itrashtara or do we not say itrashtara? Rav Papi Amar lo itrashtara, Rav Shesh Bred Ravidi Amar itrashtara, Vihilchasa itrashtara. The halacha is we assume that the shtar is no good, that the shtar is no good, and therefore he cannot collect again. But vahani mili depari bapi sahadi velo itkale shtara. That's only if he paid in front of two witnesses and he didn't say anything about the shtar. Aval pari ben didei lididei. But if they paid privately and there were no witnesses, migo diachal meimar lahadam lahoid var meolam yachal nami lemeimar sitrayinu. Since he could have denied the whole thing, he could have said, "What do you mean, pay me? You never pay me anything." So therefore, we're going to believe him to say, "Yes, you paid me, but sitrayinu was a side payment." Avimi b'reid Rabbi Avo, and that's like avimi b'reid Rabbi Avo. Where do we? The Gemara does not go on to explain what the case of avimi b'reid Rabbi Avo is, and Rashi says this is he had the same exact case in Parakakosev, in Mesachs Ksuvah Stav Pehei. So that's what he paskin, that whenever the guy is a migo that he could have said Lahadam, migo that he could have denied the whole thing, so that's when we're going to believe him that the payment was made, but it was a payment for something else. When he could not have said Lahadam because there were Edom there, then Itra Shtara, we assume that the Shtar has been ruined, he's not going to be able to collect a second time. Good. Next case, seventh case. 5-6 lines before the lines get wide. Amen. Beis Amud Aleph. Hu Dam Leil Chavrei. A guy says to his friend, Mehemnitli Kol Emes Da Amritli Lo Prana. I trust you so much. Now that I am borrowing money from you, that I'm giving you the express ne'emanus that any time you say I didn't pay the money back and I argue with you, you're automatically believed. Meaning we're not even going to fight it out. If I argue it, I don't have a right to such a taina. You're automatically believed. Similar to the Maisa Rav Goldberg likes to tell about Rav Shlomo Zalman. When Rav Goldberg tells Chassanim this all the time, that Rav Shlomo Zalman once told him that when he got married, he knew that he was a very stubborn guy. You have to be a little bit stubborn to be strong in learning, you know, to be able to fight it out. So he felt that as by nature, he was a pretty stubborn person, and he thought that that would be a very terrible midah for marriage. So in the yichud room, he told his wife, look, whenever we have an argument for the first 10 years of marriage, whenever I say something against what you say, automatically the halacha is like you. Well, automatically, end of discussion, I'm hereby, you know, giving up every single time that I have. And it turns out, Rav Shlomo Zalman kept that minhag not just for the first 10 years, but for all of his life. Not bad. So he had to trust his wife, obviously, a lot going in order to. He knew who he was marrying, I guess. But that's the idea over here. A guy says, "I'm borrowing money from you. You're doing me such a tov. I have so much akaras tov to you, and I know you're such an alecha guy. I'm giving up any tainas that I might have. If it's my word against yours, your word is automatically going to win, regardless of what the halacha says. Your word is automatically going to win." So Azal Pari Bape Sade, he went and he paid him back in front of witnesses. So witnesses saw that the loan was paid up. So, but now the guy who lent the money says, "No, I never got paid." And here are two kosher witnesses saying, "Yes, you did." So what's the halacha now? So Abai Rava Darmi Tavai Hohim Ne. Abai and Rava say, well, he said he's going to believe him. Whatever he says, he's going to believe him. So he has to trust him. He has to, if he says he didn't pay back, I don't care what the witnesses say, you got to believe him. He didn't pay back. Maska for Rav Papas. Rav Papa asked, Nihida Himne Tfemi Nafshei. Tfemi Sahadi Mihimne. Granted, he believed him more than himself. But did he say, I'm going to believe you more than witnesses? Meaning the deal was that if it's my word against yours, your word is going to win. But if it's my word again, and my word and Shnei Edim against just your word, well, come on, I'm not believing you more than Shnei Edim. Shnei Edim, we're always going to believe. So that's what Rav Papa thought. Rav Papa thought that he's not giving up any rights to ever be able to prove that he paid back the money when you have Edim that says that he paid it back, so that's going to be good enough. Case number 8, the final case.
What status would
Well, you would say that it's Hodas Baldin, meaning that even though there's Edim against, Edim say that he paid it back, but the guy himself says, I didn't pay it back, because it's Hodas Baldin. It's that you could have such Hodas Baldin in advance, that you mochel the rights to any proof. That you're saying, I'm going to be moda that I owe you the money, whatever you say is true.
What's the status of the Edim?
The kosher Edim.
The kosher.
Oh, the kosher, because you don't have any proof that they're telling. Telling a lie, but I think the kosher edim. I don't think it would be like a status of trey or trey. I think with Odas Baldin, it doesn't pass with the edim. Meaning, when you have trey or trey that contradict each other, so that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Can you have one from one group and one from the other group come and be made together? It doesn't cause any shemits of psul in the edim themselves. But I think if it's a shnei edim against Odas Baldin, I don't think we would say such a thing. I don't think it calls the edim into question at all. Case number 8, a guy says to his friend, Mehemnitli ke betray, call Amos Tamad lo prana. You are believed, but he doesn't say you're believed more than me, my word against yours, your word wins. Rather, what does he say? You are believed as strong as two witnesses. I'm hereby trusting you for any future claims as strong as two witnesses, that whenever you say lo prana, that you're going to be believed. Azul parabapi tlasa. And then he went and he paid him back in front of three witnesses. So Amar Papa could betray him, they could be tlas alo him. Rav Papa says, look, he said he's going to give him the ne'amanos of two witnesses. He never said he's going to give him the ne'amanos of three witnesses. Now that there are three witnesses that he paid him back, so those three witnesses are going to be believed regardless of what the Malva wants to tie now. Armele Rafuna Breda of Yeshua, the Rav Papa, Rafuna Breda of Yeshua says, Rav Papa, when do we say that we follow the majority in terms of numbers, that three is more valuable than two? When do we say that? That's only when it comes to an umdana, when we have to estimate the value of something, so we assume that the more deos that you have involved, the clearer a number they can come to when they're trying to evaluate the worth of something or something like that. That's where three is better than two. Avalinian Eidos, Meika Trey, Trey Kamea. But we know the rule by Eidos. By Eidos, two is like 100, 100 is like two. There's not going to be a difference between 2, 3, 5, 10, 100. It's all the same. So when he says, I believe you, Kibay Trey, I believe you as much as two witnesses, same thing as saying, I believe you as much as 100 witnesses or 1,000 witnesses. And therefore, even though there are three Eidim that says he paid it back, that's worthless. The three Eidim doesn't mean anything. Lishnachrina, so another lashon of how this conversation happened is as follows. Hu damle lechavre, a guy says to his friend, Mehemnet li kebetrei, kol emes ta'amret lo parana, azul pari ba'ap, kol emes ta'amret lo parana, I trust you as strong as two witnesses whenever you want to say that I didn't pay back. Azul pari ba'apit lasa, he went and he paid it back in front of three witnesses. Amrav Papa, kebetrei himne, kebetasa lo himne. So again, Rav Papa says, so far the conversation is exactly the same. Rav Papa says, except the difference is, this time, Rav Papa says, he believed him like two, he did not believe him like three witnesses, and therefore, that we believe the three guys that he paid it back already. Maskif la, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Trey Kameo, Meir Ketrei. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua asks, what do you mean? We believe the three witnesses. Once he said, I trust you like two witnesses, that's like saying, I trust you like 100 witnesses. Two is 100, 100 is two, it's all the same. The Amalek Kibay Tlas of Azal Pari Bapi Be'arba'a. But that's only true if he said, I believe you like two witnesses, and then he came and he paid back in front of three. But if he said, I believe you like three witnesses, and then he went and he paid him back in front of four witnesses, then for sure, Kivin de Nachas Adeos, Nachas Adeos. Then for sure we're going to believe the four witnesses. Why? Because if he wanted to say, I believe you as much as witnesses, as Eidos, he should have just said two. Why does it say three? Three witnesses never means anything. The number three doesn't mean anything in terms of Eidos. So obviously he's saying, I specifically am looking for this number. And that I believe that I'm nachis l'deos, meaning I think the number of deos involved means something. So the ne'amonos, as far as I'm concerned, of three is not the same as the ne'amonos of four. And therefore, if he pays him back in front of four witnesses, those four witnesses are going to be believed. The Mishnah had said that you do not take a shavuas moda b'mitzas if a chayr shot of a katan comes with the tainus. So a chayr shot of a katan says you owe $100, you say no, I owe 50. You do not have to swear a shavuas moda b'mitzas for a taina of a chayr shot of a katan and in mashbiin as a katan. If you taina against a katan that he owes you $100, he says he only owes you 50. We do not make a katan take a shavua. My time, a why? Amakrak yite initial reo kesef o kelim lishmar ve'ein nesinas katan klum. Pasuk says ki yitein, that the pasuk by shvus abikadon really, but the pasuk says ki yitein nishal re'ehu, and we dash him from there that it's only someone whose nesina means something. Nesinas katan is not a nesina at all. So therefore, the enesinas katam klum. Why is enesinas katam klum? So Rashi says it's not really from the word nesina. It's not really from the word yitein, because a nesinas katan does really mean something. Katan does have the ability to be makna, right? Enesinas katam klum. If you see Rashi, he says taha ishksiv. Why is enesinas katam klum? Because the pasuk says ish. So from there we exclude a katan. So how do we exclude a cheresh and shota? Cheresh and shota is also an ish. But no, they have the same psul that a katan has. A katan lacks das, a cheresh and shota also lack das. So therefore, when we exclude a katan because of the word ish, we're also going to exclude a cheresh and shota along with the katan. Avul mishbayin l'katan l'hagdish. So right after we say that we don't take a shvua to a katan can't be mechayv a shvua, the very next line of the Mishnah says, but you do take a shvua to a katan and to hagdish. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? You just said the line right before that. You don't take a shvua to a katan. You just said that we don't take a shvua and tain shot of a katan. Now you're saying you do take a shvua to a katan and hagdish. There are two approaches to answer this question. One is Rav, which is right over here. The other one is going to be on Amud Beis, a little bit into the Amud. Which is going to be Shmuel. So just to realize, it's all going to go back to this question. The steer in the Mishnah, that on one hand the Mishnah says we do not take a shvua to a katan, on the other hand the Mishnah says we do take a shvua to a katan. So answer number one, Amar Rav, biba b'tainas aviv. The case that we're talking about is he's coming not with his own taina of his own transaction, but a tainas aviv, meaning he says my father lent you $100. So in that case you're going to take a shvua to the katan. If he's coming with his own taina, you won't take a shvua to the katan. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and this is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The time Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Pam Shadim Nishbal Tainas Atzmo. Sometimes a person takes a Shvua Al Tainas Atzmo without anyone making a Taina against him, just based on his own Taina, he's going to take a Shvua. Ketzad, how do you ever take a Shvua on your own Taina? Amalo Manala Vicha Biyadi, Vachaltiv Pras, where a guy comes over to a child and says, you know, your father lent me $100. I already paid back 50 of it, though. Here's the other 50 that I owe you. So, Hareza Nishba, he's going to have to take a Shvua, even though no one ever came to him asking for money. No one ever came looking for the money. He's the one that acknowledged that he owes it. Vizosh Nishbal Tainas Atzmo. That's Nishbal Tainas Atzmo. The Chacham Romrim, Enoel Kamesh of Avedo Pater. The Chacham say, what are you talking about? That's Nishbal. Why would you have to take a shvua in that case? You're Meshav Aveda. The katan didn't know you owed him any money. No one came to claim any money from you. You volunteered all the information. So it should be a Pesha Asura, Pesha Yit, or something like that. You're Meshav Aveda. You're volunteering all the information. So you should absolutely be Pater in that case. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, let's say Meshav Aveda Pater. And does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov not hold of this? What? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't think of Meshav Aveda is Pater. Why does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov say he's Chayiv? Amarav Bishata no katan. Rav says, no, it's not that he volunteered all the information. The kid came over to him and said, you owe my father $100. And that's when he said, no, I only owed your father 50. So frankly, Mark, katan, katan. A katan coming and telling you, it's like a parrot coming and telling you, it doesn't make a difference. He has no ability to make a taina. He's not a bardas. Why does it matter that a katan made the taina? Why should it then be any less of a meshav aveda? So says Gemara, no, it wasn't really a katan that made the taina. Liolam gadol. It was really a gadol. It was a child of the person who he had the transaction with, but it was an adult child of the person that you had the transaction with. But my car le katan, why do they call him a katan? Because in regards to his father's business dealings, he's treated like a katan. If that's true, tainas atzmo, tainas acherim hi. How can you call that tainas atzmo, that he's swearing because of his own taina? He had a boy over bar mitzvah who came and made a taina against him. That's a tainas acherim. So says Gemara, yeah, we didn't mean to make such a big deal that he's swearing about tainas atzmo. What we meant is tainas acherim vahoda'as atzmo. That sometimes you're going to swear when someone makes a taina against you, a legitimate taina against you, and you are moda to that, to part of that taina. That's where sometimes you're going to swear. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's chiddush. Frak the Gemara, that's a chiddush. Kulunami tainas achem rados atzman inhu. The case of moda b'miktsas is a case of tainas achem and rados atzmo. That's the very case of moda b'miktsas that the Torah speaks about. So it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov coming and tell me a chiddush that sometimes you swear al tainas atzmo when all he means is tainas achem and rados atzmo. Rather, what they're arguing about, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chum are arguing about, is the Shita of Rabba. Dam Rabba, Rabba taught us, Mipnei Ma'am, Ritar Moda Mixas Taini Shava. Why is it that when someone is Moda Mixas, the Torah says he has to take a Shvua? Chazaka, in other words, Pandu Bifnei Balchava, we have a Chazaka that a person would not totally deny a claim that's made against him. Vaha bekulei bayi delichbrei, and the guy really wants to deny the whole thing over here. He just doesn't have the chutzpah to do so. Vahay delo kafrei mishum dei nomei ispanu b'fnei balchava. The only reason he doesn't lie entirely and say he owes nothing is because he doesn't have that kind of chutzpah to lie directly to him. O bekulei bayi delo dilei, and he really wants to admit to whatever he owes him, meaning because he doesn't have the chutzpah to lie, he really wants to admit that he owes him all the money. The reason he hasn't admitted to that is he's trying to stall for time because he doesn't have all the money right now. So he figures, let me stall a little bit right now. I'll tell him I owe him some of the money. I'll pay him back some of the money. And whenever I get the rest of the money, I'll pay him back later. But I don't have the rest of the money right now. That's all he's trying to do. Rachman Amar, so the Torah says, make him take a shvua so that he'll be moded to the whole thing. He's not going to be willing to lie under oath. So let him take a shvua so he'll be moded to the whole thing. That's the idea. That's the yesod of the idea of moda miksas taina. It's all grounded in the idea of the chazaka of ein ademeis panu b'fnei balchovo. Without the chazaka of ein ademeis, you don't have a shvua moda b'miksas. So now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chum are arguing in the following case. You have the child of the person who you had the business dealing with. Would you have chutzpah to tell him that you didn't borrow any money from his father? You certainly wouldn't have told the father that. And that's where the Shavuos Moda B'Miktsas comes from. Would you have the chutzpah? Do we have a chazaka that Ein Ademeis Panu B'Fnei Ben Balchovo, the son of the guy you borrowed the money? Or do we say, no, that's not, doesn't take as much chutzpah. That doesn't take as much to go and deny it. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, son of Loshna Bov, Loshna B'Bno, Ein Ademeis. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, neither he nor his son would you be mazed in front of Hilk, Nechlav Meshav Avedahu. And therefore, it's not a case of a Meshav Aveda. Rabbanan Savri, Befanavu Dein Ameis, El B'Fnei B'No, Meis, Umidlo Meis, Meshav Avedahu. And the Chum say, not so. Then in front of the guy himself, you wouldn't be meis panav, but in front of his son, we have no problem being meis panav in front of the son. And therefore, from the fact that you weren't meis, it's a meishav aveda. So that's you're just completely volunteering the whole thing. There's no basis for a shvus moda b'miktsas where we know that you would be meis panav, and therefore we're going to believe you. This is a major shaila lahalacha. What if you have a case? This in Chashuk Echemet of Zubelstein raises the shaila. What if you have a case where Beis Din knows that this guy has the chutzpah to do anything? He's in the past, he says anything, he does anything, he's got no filter, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what people think, he has plenty of chutzpah. So do you say, okay, so for him, there's no chazaka in the Meis Panu B'fnei Balchovo, and if there's no chazaka in the Meis Panu B'fnei Balchovo, we can't be Mechayiv M'Shvua. He should be Neman when he's Moda B'Miktsas, Migo, that he could have been Kofar HaKol. And don't say, no, he never would be Kofar HaKol because he doesn't have that kind of chutzpah. Yes, he does. This guy does have that kind of chutzpah. So he would have been Kofar HaKol. He wouldn't mind being Kofar HaKol. So we should believe him to be Moda B'Miktsas. So it should turn out that it's better for him, the fact that he's such a chutzpah Yaakov should be beneficial to him in this case, that he should be Neman with the Moda B'Miktsas. So would you say such a thing? So he quotes the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer in Choshem Mishpat, Kuntra Sofer Mehir Dav Ches Oshei, where he discusses the following case. He says, why is the Kofar HaKol pot from a Shvuah D'Oraisa? It's because Chazaka is under Meis Panu B'Fnei Balchova, right? That's why Kofar HaKol, we believe him because we have a chazaka that he's probably telling the truth, because people wouldn't lie about a loan in its entirety. But Frekt Lik Sav Sofer, then why is it that when an Eid Echad says that you owe money and you deny the whole thing, why is it that you have to take a Shavua then? And an Eid Echad Kenegdo causes a Chiv Shavua. You have a Chazakah versus an Eid Echad. Which is stronger, Chazakah or Eid Echad? So generally the halacha is, an Eid Echad is not believed against the Chazakah. Chazakah is stronger than Eid Echad. So if you have a Chazakah that Eino Demeis Panu B'Fnei Bel Chovo, and there's an Eid Echad that says, no, you do owe the money, so why should you have to take a Shavua? Your Chazakah should beat the Eid Echad. So Ksav Sofer says, no. You have to realize, this Chazakah Eino Demeis Panu B'Fnei Bel Chovo, Chazakah means a lot of things. This Chazakah is a rove. It's just a rove that most people are not Meis Panu B'Fnei Bel Chovo. There are plenty of people, though, there's a significant minority of people, that would be Meis Panu B'Fnei Bel Chovo. Absent any other evidence, we'll assume that you're part of the rove. But when there's an Eid Echad against you, that's telling, the Eid Echad is just saying, this guy is not part of the rove. This guy is part of the Miut. And because of that, it's going to be Mechayev Shvuah. From the Ksav Sofer, it sounds that as long as, since there, we do recognize that there is a group of people that are that would be Meis Panav, if you know that this guy belongs to that group, so then these halachos aren't going to apply. Then we're going to say Modu B'Miksah should be believed, Migo, that he could have been Kofar HaKol, and you know that should work. But he quotes that in the Sefer Panim Yafos on Chumash, in Devarim Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it says Lo Sakiru Panim Bamishpat, Panim Yafos explains Lo Sakiru Panim Bamishpat means you shouldn't make judgments about people's character in din. That you shouldn't make the judgment on your own whether this guy is someone who's meis panav or not have that kind of azos panim. Leave that. That's not your business. You have to deal with the tainas and the rules that the Torah gave you. Look, if there's neid echad, so good. So then that's evidence, right? But based on your own judgment of what this guy's character is, lo sakiru panim b'mishpat. Don't start recognizing faces and say, this guy has chutzpah. That guy. That's not how we deal with mishpat. So he thinks based on that, just by knowing the person and thinking that he's a good. Nothing, he's a mechutzav, that wouldn't be enough. Okay, so frankly, Gemara, Mimatz, Mugmuk, Rav Loz ben Yaakov, this whole teretz, again, the discussion started where we asked, it's a steer in the Mishnah. On the one hand, we say you don't swear to a katan, and on the other hand, we say you do swear to a katan. So Rav said, when he's bub, betainus of, if that's where you're going to swear to a katan, and we said, that must be going like Rav Loz ben Yaakov. So frankly, Gemara, can the Mishnah be going like Rav Loz ben Yaakov? Hakatan Yeresha, manalaba biyadcha, dinar. It says beferish in the Mishnah that if someone says, a child comes to you and says that you owed my father $100 and you say, no, I only owed your father 50, that's a meshav aveda. So that's against Rav Loz ben Yaakov. So hasam dlama barili, hachadama barili. It all depends how the child says it. If the child comes and says, I am absolutely 100% certain that you owed my father $100, and then you're modu b'miksas, and the child is again, above bar mitzvah, right, so that's not going to be considered Meshav Aveda, you're going to be Chayv Shvuah. But if the child says, I think you owed my father $100, that's going to be a Meshav Aveda when you modded anything. You're not going to be Chayv Shvuah. Okay, that was answer number one. Now answer number two in terms of the direct stira between one line and the next in our Mishnah. Shmuel Amar Likatan, what does it mean when we say you swear to a katan? It means Lipara Minichse Katan. Doesn't mean to swear to a katan, it means to get paid back from the nechasim of a katan. La Hegdish, when we say you swear to Hegdish, means Lipara Minichse Hegdish, get paid back from Hegdish. Meaning if you ever want to get money from a katan, no matter what the circumstances, you need to take a shavua in order to get that money. If you want to get money from Hegdish, you need to take a shvua to get that money. Likatan the part of Minichse Katan. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second. We need the Mishnah to tell me that in order to get paid back from a katan, you need to take a shvua. Tanina, we already know that. Minichse Yisamim Lo Yiparel B'Shvua. We already learned that Minichse Yisamim, you can only get paid back with a shvua. So Tarti Lamali, why do I need two Mishnayos teach me the same din that you need a shvua in order to get paid back from a katan? Hakamashmul Kedah Abaye Kashisha. No, it's teaching me the din of Abaye Kashisha. The Tani Abaye Kashisha Yisamim Sha'am. When we say that in order to pay back from Yisomim you need a Shavua, it's even Yisomim that are Gedolim, that are above Bar Mitzvah, and Bein L'Shavua, Bein L'Ziburus, both for the Halach of Shavua and for the Halach of Ziburus, because the Halach is Ein from Min HaYisomim El B'Ziburus also, that whenever you get paid back from the Yisomim, you always take the Ziburus land, their lowest quality land also. So that, both of those dinim, the idea that you need to take a Shavua and the idea that you're only entitled to the Ziburis, both of those dinim only apply, even apply when the Yasom is a Gadol. Good, so that's why we need two Mishnayos about getting paid back from Yisomin. Lahegdish, the part, and when we say over here that you need to take a shvur to get paid back from Hegdish, li part of minichse Hegdish means to get paid back from Hegdish. Tanina, but we already learned that as well. Minichasim Mishubadim leifru ela b'shvua. From Nechasim Mishubadim, you can only get paid back with a shvua. Now, Nechasim Mishubadim doesn't mean Hegdish, it just means karka. But umali Mishubadim lehedyot, umali Mishubadim legvo. What difference should it make whether it's karka owned by an individual or karka that's Mishubadim? Either way, you should require a shvua. So says Marano Isra. Salkadai dechamina hediot hu da'ad amosu kununi al hediot. I might think that by hediot, when you're dealing with another individual, that's where you're going to need to take a shvua in order to get paid back karka, because a person might try to pull a shtick when dealing with his friend. Aval hegdish, they know the most kanuni al hegdish, but I would think that when dealing with hegdish, you're not going to try to play any games. You're dealing with hegdish over here. Who's going to go and try to mess around with hegdish? So Kamashman therefore comes to tell me, no, you still got to take a shvua, even when you want to get paid back from hegdish. We don't assume so innocently that people don't play games with hegdish. People do play games with hegdish. V'amar afuna shchivmer asher hegdish kal nechasa v'amar mana l'plani biyadi neman chazakei no the most kanuni al hegdish. But didn't afuna teach a din that people don't play games with hegdish? Because after all, he says that if a person is a shchivmer, he's on his deathbed, and he says, I am hereby makdish all of my nechasim, except for you should know that $100 I owe to Ploni, so make sure he gets paid back. So we believe him about that, and we don't say even those $100 belong to Hagdish. Why do we believe him about that? Because people wouldn't play games with Hagdish. People don't mess around with Hagdish. So you see that we do have such a chazaka that people don't play games with Hagdish. So Amri Hani Mili Shchivmer, Adenad Mechotiv Lalo, Avagabi Bari Vade Chashiner. So when do we say people aren't going to play games with Hagdish? When they don't stand to gain anything. Here he's dying, he's on his deathbed. So if he were to mess around with Hagdish, what's he going to gain? Nothing. He's going to the old Ma'amas, he's not going to bring anything with him anyway. His children might have a few extra bucks, or whoever this guy is that he's saying he owes the money to might have a few extra bucks, but he's not going to gain anything anyway. So we would assume that someone on his way to the old Ma'amas is not going to mess around. But a regular guy, if he could line his pocket with a few more dollars, we'll even mess around with Hagdish, and we'll even be dishonest with Hagdish. And that's why you need to take a shvua. There's got to be a list somewhere compiled of all the halachos that change when a person is a shchivmera, right? Divrei shchivmera k'ksuv n'k'msurin dami. The Gemara k'suva says that even though I'm vaziz ali vaziz yosem mechamish, you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah, a shchivmera can. A shchivmera can give all of his money or half of his money to tzedakah, because it's concerned about how he's going to live the rest of his life without that money. But if he's dying anyway, so this is another exception. Because he's a shchivmera, we assume he's not going to mess around with hegdish if he doesn't stand to gain from that. Okay, new Mishnah. The following are things that we never take a shvua on. Right? You take a shvua on money, but you don't take a shvua on ha'avadim, hashtaros, v'akarkos, v'akdeshos. Right? When dealing with avadim, shtaros, karka, and hegdish, you don't take a shvua on those items. Ein ben tashlumei kefel, and these items also have something else in common. You would never pay kefel for them, v'lo tashlumei arba v'chamisha, nor tashlumei arba v'chamisha. The Gemara is going to learn from Joshua how we know this is true. And another thing they have in common is shomachina meinu nishban nos yisachar eino mishalim. A shomachina is not going to have to swear if let's say one of these items gets stolen from his property. So normally shomachina is pater when something is pater in gnev v'aveda, but typically shomachina has to swear that a taka was nignav or nevan. He can't come with a time of gnev v'aved, he has to swear. But if he's a shomer chinam on hegdish or on karka or shtaros or avadim, he's not going to have to take a shvua that it was nignav or nevan. He gets off the hook anyway. Normally a shomer sachar is chayiv on gnev v'aveda, nosi sachar einu mishalim. He's not going to be chayiv gnev v'aveda if he's watching one of these things. Avadim, shtaros, karkaos, hekdeshos. Tosus discusses what if he's a meshiv v'aveda, right? If he's a meshiv v'aveda, normally someone who's doing a shavas v'aveda is a din of a shomer sachar. So would we say the same thing that a meshiv v'aveda? Because Tosus, there's a gemara that seems to imply otherwise, that by a meshiv v'aveda and he's that who has a din of a shomer sachar, that he would he would have to pay on these items. So okay, so Tosus deals with that issue of meshiv v'aveda. It's a very important point that a meshiv v'aveda is a din of shomer sachar. There's a shaila I saw in one of the sfarim recently that there was a Talmud Chacham who went and he found a children's bicycle in the middle of the street. And he went and he decided he's going to be Meshav Aveda. So he came and he brought it home to his apartment building, and he tied it up downstairs, he locked it up, and he went upstairs and he figured the next day he'd go and be Machris. And then it was Nignav. Overnight it was stolen. So he wanted to know, does he have a chiyuv hachraza? Does he need to be machriz, find out who the guy who lost it is, so that he could pay back, because he had a din of a shomer sachar, and a shomer sachar is chayiv on Gnev Vaveda. So he's taka going to be chayiv. Or maybe no, maybe because he only volunteered this Hashav Zaveda, he wasn't mechuyiv, because it was zak in venil fi kvodo, to be walking through the streets with a little tricycle, so maybe because he was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Rosh Hashiva or whatever, so maybe he wouldn't have a status of a shomer sachar. Okay, it's an interesting shayla for a different time. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kachim shchayiv v'achriyus nishpah nalein. Any kachim that you're chayiv for their achrayus, you're responsible for them, you would swear on them. When you're not chayiv in their achrayus, you don't have to swear on them. Rameir Omer, yesh dvarim shein kekarka ve'einon kekarka. There are some things that are big karka, but they're not kekarka. There are things that are somewhat like karka, but not totally like karka. Ve'ein chacham modim on them. Chacham are not moditim. Ketzad, what are we talking about? If someone says, I gave you 10 vines full of grapes, and he says, no, you only gave me 5 vines full of grapes. So Rameir says, that does not have a din of karka, because the grapes are omed livtzar, they're supposed to eventually be picked. V'chamram l'cham say, no, so long as it's still attached to the ground, and you don't swear in karka, so it's still attached to the ground, so it's a din of karka. We only take a shvua on things that are easily measured, that have very defined quantities. Ketzad, bayis mali masarti lach, I gave you a house full of stuff. Vikis mali masarti lach, or I gave you a bag full of stuff. Va'alomer, and the other one says, eini yodea elamashe nachta atanotel. He says, I don't know what full, not full bag you gave me, but here's whatever you gave me, I gave back to you, and you took already. Pater, he's going to be pater. That's not called the mode of mixas, because we don't have any defined quantities. But zeh omer al aziz, zeh omer al chalon, chayiv. But if there's a house, and the house has a window that's up, that's midway up the height of the house, and there's a ziz, there's a ledge that's 3/4 of the way up, and he says, I gave you this house full up until the ledge. And he says, no, you only gave me ad achalon. So that's quantifiable. Now we have something that's a clear quantity, so then he's going to be chayiv. That's in fact going to be a shvuas modim mikvah. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll start with the Gemara tomorrow.